All right. I've been praying over this list. I have a list of all the pastors and all the churches, all the ministers that are part of LTMA, and I've been praying this morning over those lists. And there are some more things I want to share with you about the fear of the Lord. You pay close attention because you will not find this in no book. It's a masterful revelation, I believe, that the Lord has given me in restoring and rebuilding the church back into her proper position. You know, the Apostle Paul, then 1 Corinthians chapter 2, give us a masterpiece of ministry beyond human wisdom, but ministering in the wisdom of God. I just want to give you this thought, preaching the right letter in the wrong anointing is very dangerous. What it does is stir up a lot of emotion, but it does not change no will. Let me repeat that, because that's a lot of what's going on. I've been in ministry 43 years, and this apostolic anointing, Paul says, as a master builder, and you have to get the foundation right. And in doing that, we have to move from just emotional preaching to preaching to change people's will. That's the only way the church going to come back to her original plan and be in the power of God, the real power of God, and not just some emotional shouting. I've been in some denomination. I've been around a long time. I've watched pulpiteers who's supposed to be master preachers, but basically what it to criticize it some is just emotion, just a, got a good commentary, a good outline, and make the people feel real good. Our churches, I want to build these churches that we're dealing with in the LTMA that make sure we're on a solid foundation of helping our people to submit to the will of God. Let me give you two definitions here for the fear of the Lord. I think that will help us. One is the fear of the Lord is to fear God, is to respond to him in awe, trust, obedient, and worship. I think that's a good definition of the fear of the Lord. Here's another one. The fear of the Lord is a spirit of dependence and subjection to God's authority. You have human wisdom, you have God wisdom. We must concentrate on operating in God's wisdom, God's knowledge, God's understanding, and discernment. It's so important for us as ministers of the gospel. And so today, I share with my congregation, I'm going to share with you somewhat today, the fear of the Lord is the master anointing. It's the master anointing now. And that's what the Apostle Paul, when he was talking in 1 Corinthians 2 about he determined not to know anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified, and then he talks about how he was functioning that master anointing. One would think when he said, I'm in fear and weakness and trembling, he was talking about he was afraid. Well, you know, there's a natural fear, there's the spirit of fear, there's demonical fear, there's the fear of men. All those fears is not what we're talking about. We're talking about the fear of the Lord, and it's a respect and an honor for the Lord. But it's in the Holy Spirit revealing to me, the Holy Spirit said to me, this is a master anointing. Now, the reason it's a master anointing, sons and daughters, is because wisdom, knowledge, understanding, all have to be channeled through the reverential respect for the Lord. It'll keep pride down, and it'll keep honor up. So I'll begin to share with you. I shared some with you about the fear of the Lord on our last session. I'm going to aim to take it further. Like I said, I didn't find this in, this not in no book about being a master anointing, but I found out that if all those other anointing come through it, the respect and honor of the Lord is the first mark that you have a strong, genuine, yoke-breaking anointing. One of the first words that I gave on yesterday, I know some of y'all heard it, but you know, we talk about massive production the Holy Ghost gave me for this year. And the first thing the Lord gave me on this, the fear of the Lord is the master anointing. You're marked for special production. You're marked for special production. Now, I think that's prophetical. I think that it's part of the massive production you talked about. I think you want to bring us to grip with the fact that if we grab or grip or submit to this master anointing, we'll begin to walk strongly in the realm of the Spirit. The next thing was special production called for special ministry from God. And he said, there cannot be a prophetic change if something is not toned down. Now we go, you're going to see that there got to be the fear of the Lord anointing is destructive and constructive. If you don't have nothing being destroyed, you're really not in ministry. You got to, because the enemy come with distraction, try to derail us, he try to deflect us, try to bring us in doubt, try to make us double-minded, and we got to be on top of it all the time as ministers of the gospel, as God's servant, as God's agent of change on earth. We got to be aware all the time in the Spirit. The Spirit is constantly moving. There's constantly activity going on, and you got to keep the second heaven dismantled. And so to do that, you got to stay in focus all the time, walking in that master anointing. So the prophetic consists of two things, tearing down and building. There cannot be a prophetic change if something not toned down. So pastors, don't get comfortable because, you know, you're doing pretty good. Don't get comfortable. You got to keep, I think I'm not too much on physics, but I know that sometimes some muscles have to be toned down for other ones to be able to function like they should. So there's foundations. We've been in ministry a long time, many of us, and sometimes we get complacent or we get comfortable. But the fear of the Lord, this master anointing, it's shaking me up. It's shaking this church up. It's shaking this city up. My people are all shook up. Everybody's, many of them on the line right now. 15 and 20 of them on the line right now. But we're in a shook position. And being in that shook position, we are shifting to another level of understanding how God functions through us. Isaiah, I studied in Bible college and studied about the major prophet and the minor prophet. Isaiah is one of the major prophets. And the prophetic ministry is a ministry of restoration. Sometimes you have to lose something to gain something. The power of the prophetic ministry does not create something new, but it serves to recreate and restore. So restoration and going back to God's original plan is where the power is. It's where the anointing really can work, where the word of God will be powerful, where we'll see a lot of changes in our ministry. Now, I may sound dull and dry, and that's the way it needs to be sounding, because we're so hyped, we're hyped up, but I don't think in the people's heart, I'm not talking about numbers now. I'm not talking about how big your church is. But in the people's hearts, can they really defend themselves when they're attacked by the enemy in a strong manner? And so we want growth from the inside. What I'm doing here at Word of Life, I've seen the enemy attack people, and really I thought they could handle it better, but a lot of times they didn't handle it like I thought they could handle it. I thought they had in them what I had in me, but a lot of times I see it's not really in there. And so we got to find a way to get it into them that they be strong and be able to fight their battle when they need to. Listen very carefully here, because people can't move out of one dimension because God is infinite. infinite, inexhaustible, and never runs out. He just keep on coming. So we can't get satisfied and sit. If you stage yourself in a certain spot and refuse to move, he can't take you no farther. And what I'm trying to do now this morning is just share my heart. So I'll fumble around a little bit. Just bear with me, because this thing heavy in my heart. I want you all to understand what we're doing here, that we're not a regular organization trying to get a number of people in one place, but we're trying to drill into the heart and mind of the people God have assigned us to, that they'll be come strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So the process of prophetic restoration is both destructive and constructive. A lot of time we're trying to build on a fake foundation or an abused foundation, a foundation that can't hold anymore. And if someone don't come and tear it down, your new building will never rise in the spec of your new life, your new level of living, your new promotion, your new blessing will never be able to function in your life. So sometimes things have to be torn down. And like I said, we get in the comfort zone sometimes, and somebody can't help you. And we're still, the church at large is still trying to build people on the same old lifestyle, denominational lifestyle, program, strategist, without fully consulting with the Holy Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit lead you into divine direction. And now, when you say destructive, when something is being destroyed out of our lives, we get nervous and try to hold on to it, but it's over. It brought you as far as you can bring you. Let's pause right there. Let me read that again. Because we're saying that the prophetic ministry is both destructive and constructive, and a lot of times we get nervous. I've seen it among my congregation. I read behind great men of God when they were going into a deeper walk with God. Some things had to be rooted up, pulled down, and destroyed before you can plant and build. You may see in your congregation, you go to preach it on this wise, they'll get nervous and try to hold on to the old thing, but it's over. It brought you as far as it can bring you. And one of the transitional factors of a prayer, if you keep praying in the Spirit, keep seeking God's face, want more, asking God for direction, he's going to tear some things down. There's going to be some destructive matter going on, because he will not build new revelation on the old foundation. That's just like the old wine skin. You know, trying to put new wine in old bottles, it won't work. And at large, looking at the church, that's basically where we've been in a high percentage. Going on the same merry-go-round, the same type of meeting. Then one of the saddest things is the competitive spirit that I've seen over the years. One preacher trying to out-preach another one. That stuff got to go. We got to get lined up and get the people where they can be strong in the Lord. So Jeremiah 1:9-10 are the two verses that reveals the tearing down and the building up. Now the Lord says, "Pay attention. This is where we are headed. Walking in the supernatural, natural." A normal lifestyle when you're flowing in properly. In other words, it won't be a new deal to you. You're walking in the supernatural natural. This new supernatural, the major characteristic of this new supernatural dimension of walking in the fear of the Lord, the master anointing. You may be thinking, how will I know when this end time move of God's supernatural power has begun? There are four characteristics of the coming dimension and manifestation of God's power and glory that will position the church to bring in the greatest harvest of soul the world have ever seen. Here's those four. I'm going to read them to you. God will bring about radical changes in the church to raise it to a new level of spiritual maturity. mark that, spiritual maturity and authority, so that it, he can use it as a channel through which he can pour out his miracle power. The church has to move to a new level. Oh, pastor, listen to me. Number two, God will bring the church to a new level of revelation, knowledge, whereby he will reveal himself in intimate communion and fellowship. His glory will manifest in the midst of his people. I saw something. I wrote something down. This was revealed to me. You remember, I think it's in the 17th chapter of John, when Jesus took them boys up on the Mount of Transfiguration and the glory of God came. Here's something we need to see. The glory of God cannot build on any kind of foundation. On that mountain, when the glory appeared, you recognize that Moses and Elijah appeared to Jesus. And what God was doing there, and listen, because this is new to me, it may be new to you, revealing the foundation of his glory. There you had Jesus. There you had Moses as an apostle. And you had Elijah as a prophet. Now, we know Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians that the church is built on the apostle, prophet, and Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. So each one of us going to have to walk in the apostolic and the prophetic. Even if you have a ministry, you're going out and preach, you're going to have to walk in that anointing, because I believe that we are a family, we are an apostolic team. I believe that my anointing should pass down to each one of you all and mix with whatever God have already given you. But it's so important that if we're going to have the glory, we're going to have the real glory, the manifested presence of God, he's looking for that foundation of Jesus Christ, apostolic anointing, and the prophetic anointing to be in the same place. So our connection now at this point is what God is doing. A lot of time I walk in the prophetic. Yesterday I walked in the prophetic by no power of my own, like Paul said, in weakness, fear, and trembling. But I'm finding out that weakness, fear, and trembling is the aspect of moving beyond human wisdom and moving into the wisdom of God. So, number two, God will bring the church to a new level of revelation, knowledge, whereby he will reveal himself in intimate communion and fellowship. His glory will manifest in the midst of his people. And what I'm saying, for his glory to manifest, we're going to have contact with Jesus, the apostolic anointing, and the prophetic anointing. Now, in which the church have not had to a large degree, because it is very rare. Now, we knew about Jesus, but yet the ministry gift that the Lord had prepared for this to happen, we have not known much about it. We've worn the name. I've seen the name worn and the titles, but I'm talking about the manifestation of the power and the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding and the discernment and the impartation and the revelation. All those things had to be in place. Number three, there will be a call out believer. And I'm almost through. There will be called out believers who have given themselves fully to God and will be empowered to do the work of the ministry, not just well-known evangelists, pastors, etc. Now, the immaturity of the body of Christ or the family of God or the assembly or the God workmanship or the bride there's a lot of other temple is the sevenfold picture of the church. But there's such immaturity in the church, because we think if people can quote a few verses and make a little talk, they're mature. Now, maturity when life is when life hit the road and the road is not smooth, and that person still can carry out their assignment from God. So what I'm saying here is Ephesians 4:11 through 16 is where we really are now. And I know you run up against brick walls doing this, because some of us already think we have it because we can preach a sermon or because we've been pastoring a long time. But the Lord never stands still. He's a progressive God. I recognize that myself, that I'm constantly progressing. He's constantly showing me something else. I thought I had it. God showed me something else. I thought I had it. God showed me something else. And I thought I had it. God showed me something else. And so we have to be open for that progressiveness of the Spirit, because he's infinitum. He's always expanding and enlarging, increasing. And that's the way you stay on top of it, if you recognize that he's on and on and on and on. He's constantly going. And he want to reveal more glory and more of himself to you. I think in 1 Chronicles 29:11 and 12, and on through 13, 14 verses, it reveals he's the God of victory, his kingdom, his earth, his majesty, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what we got to realize. Number three, there will be called out believers who have given themselves fully to God and will be empowered to do the work of the ministry, not just well-known evangelists. See, I always lack Gilead army. I believe in numbers, but I also believe in the strength of the Spirit. And the church has to be built. So some, now, right now I got some leaving. They satisfy what they had. They don't want to go no further. They want the same song, the same type of worship. And when you go into the apostolic and the prophetic, the worship changes. The songs change. It's a deeper element of getting in the presence of God. Number four, as a wave of God's miracle power sweep across the city, nation, and continent, the world will have a final end-time witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ, preaching a demonstration of the supernatural power of God and bringing in an unprecedented worldwide harvest of souls. Now, in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 through 3, outstanding. I've read this chapter so many times, but outstanding. When the Lord spoke to me, the fear of the Lord is the master anointing. These three verses became so powerful in my life. Notice the fear of the anointing there. It proved that the fear of the Lord is the master anointing, because all the other anointing had to come through it. The fear of the Lord is a channel. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom. The fear of the Lord talk about knowledge. The fear of the Lord talk about understanding. That reverential, honorable, submissive respect for the Lord opened a channel for all of the other anointing to come through. The fear of the Lord is a master anointing. It's a master input of the Holy Ghost. It is a master position that all other anointing can flow at ease. When there's not a divine supernatural respect toward God, there cannot be a divine supernatural respond to God. Let me read that again. When there's not a divine supernatural respect for God, which is the fear of the Lord, toward God, there cannot be a divine supernatural respond to God. I say to them, you have to know that God is unequal to you. He has to bring you up. Walking in this fear is sanctification. Now, here's where we got to touch the base in. See, I believe that the accusation and the sins committed among the ministerial people, I believe is because they wasn't walking this master anointing. Good preachers, good pastors, good evangelists, etc. But if they're not walking in the fear of the Lord, sanctification, holiness, pureness, living clean, keeping God first at all time, not putting God on your list. You know, I talk about that. See, those things, I think that we have escaped sanctification, holiness, pureness, living clean, keeping God first, because we have not known how to walk in this master anointing. God has to know you can trust you with the good. Now listen to this. Program took the place of principle. Kingdom principles could not function. We tried to program God, but God was trying to program us. When you forget Katula Bashakali Bro, Bishkandali Shu, the Mangre Da, Koshe Kede Bo, Nabari Sishikedi, Bundilabaj, Romangri Spita, Velimo katsa tare mutsuki teko sata. Ora bahasa kata. Now, stronger imparting will be on your life from this day forward. A stronger word will come through your mind, your mouth, and your meditation. Yea, those things that have hindered the flow, hindered the growth, hindered the manifestation will be dealt with a massive anointing. Things that have boxed you in will not be able to keep you in the box no further. There's so much more that God wants you to have, so much more that he wants you to do. And this day, that impartation is being made to you that you can expect a flow that you have never seen before. Expect favors that you have never received before. For my spirit is moving on your behalf at this time, says the Lord. So rest that which is bothering you. So rest that which is bothering you is put there to promote you. It's going to be a step you're going to use to go to a higher level. Yeah, it don't seem good now, and it don't seem like it's working out. You say nobody else knows. Yeah, somebody knows. God knows. Sometimes the front and the fake is on our life for a long time. But God said, let me peel it back today. I'm peeling back everything that is fake. Everything that is not connected with your future. I'm about to remove those things, say the Lord, and place impartation of the master anointing on your life, on your church, on whatever I've sent you to do. From this day forward, you will never be the same. You won't think the same. You will not speak the same. You will not walk the same. Everything will be different, say the Lord, because my spirit is traveling in the various places where you are now, imparting to you an anointing to remove everything that hindered you from going where I told you to go. This is the hour on the church that I'm about to do some functioning in the church that never seen. Now, many have to move or they will be removed, say the Lord, because they are blocking my people from going to a higher level looking at them. You must point every man to me. I'm God. I'm the Lord. I'm the one who called you. I'm the one who carrying you. I'm your source of life. I'm your source of power. And I will produce in you this hour the very things that I've called you to do. So be not disturbed. Be not dismayed. Be not detoured. Keep walking, for the power of the Lord is on you at this hour. My God. This anointing is to unlock and unblock the spirit world. Unlocking and unblocking the voice of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. What you need to know, you will know. You have to talk to your life and tell it what it's going to be, because you're more powerful than this fight, whatever you're going through. The fear of the Lord knows how to function and flow in the glory of God. The fear of the Lord knows how to function and flow in the glory of God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, son and daughter, listen now. We're on another level here. This is no put on. This is no program. This is fresh from heaven. When you begin to ask the Lord, you see in there, and let me go ahead of myself. You see there in Isaiah 11, he points out about Jesus' life. And Jesus needed the fear of the Lord. Jesus operating the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord was Jesus' master anointing. Like I said, you won't find it in the book. But you see, Akataloba Shata. You see, the fear of the Lord is a master anointing. Because you see, they talk about wisdom, you talk about understanding, talk about counsel, you talk about might, you talk about knowledge, talk about the fear of the Lord. But when it gets down to the third verse now, look what happened in Isaiah 3. If you can turn, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 3. When he gets down to the third verse, after he talks about all these varieties of anointing, he takes only one, not wisdom, not knowledge, not counsel. He says, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. Making Jesus of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. Why? Why he chose that one? Because the Lord spoke to me. It's the master anointing. All the rest got to come through. And then Proverbs proved that, if you could read the book of Proverbs. So he make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. That's the master anointing right there. Now, when that master anointing is in place, notice this in the third verse. The third verse is pregnant. And he should not judge after the sight of his own eyes. You see, that master anointing of the fear of the Lord puts you in the view of seeing what God sees, what the Holy Ghost sees, what Jesus sees. And then he says, it goes on to the hearing. Now the reproof after the hearing of his ears. So there's another way of seeing, another way of listening come through the fear of the Lord. Another way of judging. If you go to the fourth chapter, you go to the fourth verse, you go to the fifth verse, it's saying righteousness shall be the girdle of his loin, and faithfulness the girdle of his reign. Yes, I know he's talking about Jesus. I'm talking about his ministry. But Jesus' ministry is our ministry. And what I'm saying is, God done tapped this thing and opened this thing up for us, and we need to start meditating it and believing God for it. The fear of the Lord knows how to function and flow in the glory of God. Now, remember what I told you about on that mountain. Here's another thing the fear of the Lord, this master anointing, will do, and we all need it. It will conquer the major satanic enemy called pride. When you walk in the fear of the Lord, it will attack that enemy. Promotion brings pride with it. So you have to have enough anointing to deal with this pride. So I'm believing that some of us have not been promoted in ministry as we should. We got the good, but we haven't been promoted because pride is waiting at that next door or at that next level. So now, with that impartation that I prophesied to you, a few minutes ago, spoke over you, now what God is doing to us, the LTMA, is getting us ready for promotion. We will see promotion, but promotion has to be, have to wear, for lack of a better word, a shield that can deal with pride. As your leader, I've been promoted many times in the spirit as well as in the physical. I've been promoted. At high levels, God has promoted me, and I'm bragging on him now, but he chose the foolish thing of the world to confound the wise. And so this promotion, I recognize every level you get in as another attempt for the enemy to put pride on you. And one of the things you have to recognize, you didn't do it, and you're not going to do that without the fear of the Lord. All right, I'm about to close. Promotion brings pride with it. So you have to have enough anointing to deal with this pride. Now you will have fresh fear, fresh fire, fresh faith, and fresh favor. If you can deal with that today, if you can take my word for it, that I may teach on this master anointing again, but I was shook, surprised, and brought deep into supernatural when I was praying, and God revealed to me the fear of the Lord is a master anointing. Our people need to be taught this. They need to be taught it in a way that they can understand it. The 34th Psalm is a good place to go. Ecclesiastes 12 is a good place to go, where he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Look at the order now. Fear God. That's the first one. Then keep his commandment. So he's saying to me, it's a master anointing. In other places, God dealt with it the same way. In Acts 9:31, you have the same thing. When Saul became Paul and stopped persecuting the church, he said the church had rest and walk, had edification. Then it said, walking in the fear of the Lord. And then it says next, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. So I found out the fear of the Lord preludes the comfort of the Holy Ghost, preludes keeping the commandment And then it is the very thing, in my conclusion, is the very thing in the 11th chapter of Isaiah. Read it. It's the very thing that God wanted to quicken Jesus in, was the fear of the Lord. We see in Jesus' ministry he had it. He had so much respect and honor for the Father. And this will keep you, again, this will keep your feet in the right place. It'll keep you from falling, because there's a lot of, when you're being promoted, not only pride, there's a lot of temptation come, because, you know, you got every need met and things moving quietly. You have to stay on your toes, my sisters and brothers. Father, I fumbled around as much as I could this morning trying to yield to your spirit. These men and women you have put under my care as an overseer, I bless them this very day. Their very individual lives I bless. And may a healing anointing flow in all their bodies so they can live long, satisfied life. May miracles, signs, and wonders take place in their life, in their home, so their base can be strong so they can lead your people. Whatever door need to be opened for either one, whatever door need to be shut for either one, let it be. Whatever foundation need to be torn down, let it be torn down today. Whatever foundation need to be built, let it be built. Creating us the ability to operate and function as a family, having the same Father and the same source of life. We thank you, we praise you, in Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, just for another word here, I call a Maud. I'm going to Maud Church in a couple of weeks, I think. Y'all have the date. Y'all got to start trying to travel some more. I'm looking for some more of y'all to travel. Some of y'all was traveling, you stopped. Why? Why? Why did you stop? I said something you didn't like? Why did you stop? You need to get, I'm going to say a lot of things you don't like, but you need to travel more. Now, you know, we've got a tier meeting. We expect y'all to be to these meetings, but in Money Comes Conference, those girls and boys who are traveling with me can tell you their lives are growing, because there's a lot of things God is showing us. We need to see you at some of the meetings. We're not so much concerned about how many people be at the meeting, but we're expecting you to be there. Also, those of you who are carrying spiritual sons, you see you have spiritual sons under you, they need to be in school. They actually need to be a part of LTMA. They actually need to be a part so we can all walk together. This is so important for you to pray about. There ain't nothing to pray about. You just do it. You need to do it. As I said, now, those churches who are close to me, I will not permit your members to just come join this church. And I'm going to have to get a little closer to those who are around close to me, because you're going to have to see them. I have to come minister in your church if I'm going to be your apostle. I'm not asking for the preacher either, because I got a lot of preaching to do. But I know that the deposit has to be made, so y'all better start praying about it right now. It's so important. If I'm going to lead you, I'm going to lead you right. Either I can lead you or can lead you, one out of two. But I see bright, bright, bright days ahead. I see a great future. The Lord, in my prayer time, the Lord is revealing a lot of things that you can't find in a book. I've read thousands of books, but this master anointing, the fear of the Lord is the master of anointing. I don't know, maybe one of y'all could tell me where you heard a sermon on that, where you read a book about that. If you did, just let me know so I can see the book, or send me the sermon so I can listen to the sermon. God bless you. I'll see you at the next meeting. Amen.